Earth Matters, a weekly segment of environmental news.
Our demands may be radical, but the demands of the Earth are truly non-negotiable. Corporations and biology do not mix.
While many celebrate the Kyoto Protocol's entering into force last week, others are less enthusiastic. The Durban Group, a coalition of non-governmental organizations, social and environmental activists, scientists, and economists, said that the Kyoto Treaty fails to cut greenhouse gas emissions enough to avert climate catastrophe and steals from the poor to give to the rich. Quote, "We're creating a sort of climate apartheid, wherein the poorest and darkest-skinned pay the highest price for continued carbon profligacy by the rich," unquote, said Sumitra Ghosh of the National Forum of Forest Peoples and Forest Workers in India. The Arctic National Wildlife Refuge is under a sneak attack. In the next 2 weeks, President Bush and his pro-oil drilling cronies in Congress may try a backdoor trick to pass their unpopular and widely resisted proposal to drill for oil in the refuge by attaching it to the must-pass federal budget bill. And Sister Dorothy Stang, a 74-year-old nun and defender of Amazonian rainforests and communities, was murdered on February 12th. It was reported that she read passages from the Bible to her killers. They listened for a minute and then fired. She was shot 6 times in the head, throat, and body at close range, and her body was found face down in the mud. Sister Dorothy lived in the town of Anapu, next to the Amazon rainforest. For 30 years, she organized to protect the forest and its people from disastrous and often illegal logging. Sister Dorothy is the most prominent activist to be murdered in the Amazon since Chico Mendes in 1988. The region known as Appalachia is one of the most beautiful and biologically diverse on Earth. The mountains and forests of Appalachia filter air and water, create soil, provide habitat and sanctuary for humans and non-humans alike. One of the greatest environmental and human rights catastrophes in recent American history is now underway in this bioregion, just southwest of Washington, D.C. In the coal fields of Appalachia, entire communities are being driven off their land by flooding, landslides, and blasting resulting from mountaintop removal. In the coal industry's zeal for quick profits and cheap electricity, miners' jobs are being replaced by machines, and beautiful mountains and streams are being destroyed forever. Joining me on the phone from Knoxville, Tennessee, is John Johnson, veteran organizer and activist with Kitua Earth First. John, welcome to Flashpoints.
Thanks.
First of all, can you talk about these mountains and forests and describe what your part of Appalachia looks like?
The mountains of Appalachia are some of the oldest and most biologically diverse temperate forests on the planet. One of the more prominent forest types in particular covers the coal field part of Appalachia. It's called a mixed mesophytic forest, and some ecologists theorize that this forest is actually the kind of evolutionary mother forest of all the hardwood forests in the east. The mountains and the coal fields tend to be super steep. Most of them are part of the greater Appalachian Plateau, which is kind of the western part of Appalachia. Most of it actually no longer resembles a plateau because it's cut by so many creeks, streams, and rivers.
Has it been heavily logged in history? Are there really old trees there?
Well, of course, the biological diversity has been severely impacted by historical logging, coal mining, and the effects of the ongoing globalization and exchange of critters. We've lost and are losing several of our keystone species because of imported pests and exotics due to the globalization and homogenization of the world economy. But the forest remains very biologically diverse, and it remains crucial to our life here. The forest is very important in filtering water and slowing down rain. It is important in filtering air, and over millennia, it's created the soil that is the basis for our agriculture.
When we talk about coal mining, most of us probably think of movies we've seen with the miners coming up from underground covered in black coal dust. What is different about this mountaintop removal?
Okay, so mountaintop removal is just what the name implies. With big machines and millions of tons of explosives, they blow the tops off the mountains. It's this layer of sandstone, and there's seams of coal in there, so they blow off the top layer. And then they push the rubble, you know, what used to be a forest and the blown up rock and slate and shale and dirt and clay and all this other stuff, and they just push it down into the valleys, generally at the tops of the hollers, but basically at the tops of the watersheds. And then they keep doing that until all the coal is gone.
And what's left behind?
What
does it look like?
It's a barren wasteland. The coal industry paints themselves as these kind of conquering heroes, like they're coming in to flatten this land that these poor people have inherited that's too steep to do anything useful with, economically speaking. But the reality is that less than 5% of the area that they've destroyed has actually been reclaimed to use for any economic development.
So you're saying it goes from being this steep mountainous area to completely flat so that they can develop it, supposedly?
Yeah. Something like 1,200 miles of streams in Appalachia have been buried with these valley fills, and something on the order of 500 square miles have been destroyed.
What does this do to the watersheds?
Basically, the valley fills are covering up the streams, and because they've stripped off the timber, there is no intact forest left to slow down the rain. And so there's been this dramatic increase in flash flooding, particularly in eastern Kentucky and southern West Virginia. You know, these valley fills are just piles of rubble in the valley, and so the water just hits it and runs off, and there's landslides and mudslides, just, you know, walls of water going down through the hollows and thrashing people's homes and cars and pets and, you know, livestock. And the communities are being torn apart, if not from the flooding, then from the social tension of the folks who are still working for the coal industry and actually engaged in mountaintop removal, and folks who live there, who value their homes and their independent mountaineer culture, and then they're watching it be destroyed. And it's also important to note that the coal companies actually stole a lot of this land. You know, they were dealing with mountain people, many of whom did not necessarily have a literate education. It's not to say that they were dumb, they just didn't know how to read and write, and so they were often cheated out of their land as the coal and timber barons forced the cash economy into the region. Appalachia, realistically, is basically a third world resource colony for the rest of America. You know, there's definitely a few places that are poorer and just as neglected or abused, but in terms of just straight up resource exploitation, this is it.
How big an area are we talking about that is now being threatened in Tennessee?
There's a company named National Coal that has started up here in Knoxville that has just recently been purchasing either the surface rights and or the mineral rights to over 100,000 acres in the coal fields of the Cumberland Mountains of East Tennessee, just to the north and west of Knoxville. One of the first things they did was they purchased what we think is the first mountaintop removal project in Tennessee on a mountain called Zeb Mountain above a lovely little community called Elk Valley. We're really afraid that because of the, I hate to call it a success, but for the coal companies, it's been a very successful program of mountaintop removal in eastern Kentucky and West Virginia, that this is now going to start to happen in Tennessee.
What about the industry's claim that this creates jobs?
Your listeners who have been familiar with the timber wars of the Pacific Northwest will recognize a familiar scenario. They claim that they're protecting jobs and creating jobs, but the reality is that employment in the coal mining industry has been declining steadily since the 50s and 60s, while the tonnage of coal produced has been increasing. And that is simply due to the fact that they use big machines instead of men, and they're using explosives. One of my buddies, one of my co-organizers in Ketua Earth First, is saying dynamite's a lot cheaper than people. And what's happening is our bioregion, southern and central Appalachia, is being turned into this national sacrifice zone so that everybody else can use, you know, hair dryers and play video games and all this useless stuff that modern culture promotes that is really just a waste of electricity.
15 years ago, Earth First organizer Judy Barry and her colleagues in what was then called Ecotopia Earth First here in Northern California organized something called Redwood Summer to try and stop the clear-cutting of thousands of acres of redwood forest up in Mendocino County. John Johnson, you're part of a very similar burgeoning grassroots movement to stop this mountaintop removal. It's very exciting. Can you talk about what your group came up with in your plans for the summer of 2005?
Okay. Several of us have been involved with Earth First for a long time, and we're very well aware and proud of the history of Earth First, and we're very inspired by Redwood Summer. And, of course, we're also inspired by Freedom Summer that Redwood Summer was loosely based on. What we want to do with Mountain Justice Summer here in Appalachia is something similar. We want to throw off the chokehold that King Coal has on our region, and we really want to contribute to this broader movement to stop mountaintop removal and all forms of destructive strip mining for coal. And basically, we want to protect the natural and cultural heritage of Appalachia.
What are folks going to be doing? You're doing like a call to action around the country to get people to come this summer to your area.
Well, we'd like to engage in a number of activities. Direct action, some nonviolent civil disobedience to really interfere with mountaintop removal sites and to really focus the attention of the country and the world on this fact that our forests and mountains are indeed the most biologically diverse temperate forests on the planet, and to wreck that so that we can have video games and televisions on all night is really pathetic. And of course, you know, my larger vision is that we actually someday succeed in toppling the resource extraction oligarchy that grips this country, and that we actually overthrow that oligarchy and create a truly free and environmentally sound culture here in Appalachia and across the rest of Turtle Island and across the planet.
How can people get involved? Tell us how people who are interested or want to travel can come back and join you for the summer.
We have a website that is www.mountainjusticesummer.org.
And that was John Johnson from Knoxville, Tennessee, and Katua Earth First. John, thank you for joining us today on Flashpoints.
Well, thanks a lot for having me.
In Berkeley, reporting for Flashpoints, this is Amanda Bellerby.